A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 11 through 32. Now Jesus stood up before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Dennis Hewley, Peace Lutheran Church, Bremerton, Washington.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In one short week, the Pharisees and Sadducees turned the crowd that had been following Jesus ever since he raised Lazarus from the dead, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," into a crowd shouting, "Crucify him." How did they do it? They asked, "Who does he think he is?" They said, "We know him. He's Joseph's son, the carpenter from Galilee. When's the last time anything good came out of Galilee? He's a subversive. He'll set the Romans against us and destroy the kingdom. Oh, and worst of all, he hangs out with sinners and tax collectors. What prophet would do that?" That's how they did it. They created doubt. They pointed to the evidence. He sat with sinners. He was welcomed into their homes, and he even ate with sinners. He didn't seem to concern himself with purity rituals. He allowed himself to be put in positions that guaranteed that he would be unclean, and then he didn't follow the rules to restore his purity. Obviously, he was not from God. He didn't fit the Pharisaical definition. In fact, he looked radically opposed to the Pharisaical definition of a man of God, and he definitely wasn't the Messiah. The Romans didn't much care what the Jews thought of Jesus, but they certainly agreed that he was no Messiah. The Romans called him a fool. Only a fool would stand there silently in front of the governor as he read a list of charges accusing you of everything from treason to blasphemy. An innocent man would have defended himself. An innocent man would have presented his side of the story, at least produced an alibi or witnesses. No, this man was a fool. Obviously, he was not from God. He didn't fit the Roman definition. In fact, he looked radically opposed to the Roman definition of a god, and he definitely wasn't the Jewish Messiah. But his followers did call him the Messiah. They pointed to his miracles. They pointed to his teachings and his obvious, clear fulfillment of Scripture. He spoke with such authority. He spoke like no one before him. He was just the kind of leader Israel needed to restore its rightful place in the world. Who did they think he was? He was someone who could fix all their problems. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a miracle worker, an all-inclusive provider, and a dynamic world leader all rolled up into one great and powerful man. That was their idea of a Messiah. All too often, that's what we're looking for, too. They were looking for a miracle worker. When we finally get around to praying, isn't it all too often because we've reached the point where it would take a miracle to get us out of our troubles? They were looking for a Messiah who could rescue them from the woes of the world. And so are we. We can't see who he really is. We live in a world of sin, and so we can't envision the pure love, the pure forgiveness that is our Savior. We can only see a tiny glimpse of that reality, and even that tiny glimpse comes only as God chooses to reveal himself to us. But he does reveal himself to us. The Holy Spirit brings us to the cross, where he helps us begin to grasp what it means to be God's only begotten Son. To begin to grasp what it means when we say that Jesus Christ is the world's Messiah. Only at the cross, as we see the God-man, the sinless one, suffering and dying for our sins, suffering and dying in our place, can we acknowledge who he truly is. At the cross, no one can ask, who does he think he is? At the cross, this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, without a doubt, certainly and clearly is the Son of God. He made our salvation certain for us, and no one saw it coming. No one could picture what it really meant for him to be our Messiah, to be the Son of God. No one could fathom the fact that he didn't come just to make the world physically right, but to bring us true peace with God. And yet, he did it. Now, the Holy Spirit reveals him to us through water in his holy word. Now, he reveals himself to us in the bread and wine of his holy supper. Now nothing can hide him from us. By this gift that God gives us, by faith, we can see the glory of God shining forth from the cross, clearly, brightly, for the light of the world himself is there with us. Who does he think he is? The better question is, who do we know him to be? He's our Savior, our Jesus, our Messiah. He's God with us, now and forever. Amen.
We thank Pastor Dennis Hewley for today's meditation on God's Word.